Well, this is the official point when the old covenant is transferred over to the new covenant with Jesus. In one sense, it is really one of the saddest moments in the history of religion, because John really was a righteous man, and he was killed for nothing more than vengeance for speaking the truth about the unlawful union of Herodias and Herod. And so, of course, you know, you kind of look at it and you just go, oh my gosh, you know, this is just, you know, a terrible, you know, event. I mean, it's the spilling of innocent blood, and not just innocent blood, but the spilling of righteous blood for nothing except pure darkness, pure vindictiveness, you know, pure vengeance. Yet at the same time, in all of what looks like a tragedy to the world, of course, God's plan, which is so much bigger than what anyone else can figure out, Jesus is in a sense now in the position where, you know, the Baptist disciples are no longer going to be rivals to the disciples of Jesus or to Jesus himself. And of course, they weren't intentional rivals ever at all. What was happening was people were just kind of going, well, who is it? Is it the Baptist or is it Jesus? And even though the Baptist is saying, it's not me, it's him, right? There's this kind of, you know, confusion, as it were, going on. Now, all of a sudden, the entire, you know, baton, you know, has been handed really over to Jesus. And, you know, there's a real difference between the preaching of Jesus and the preaching of John. I mean, John has the typical Old Testament style. He has the, you know, the really challenging style. You know, he's got that real sense of putting, you know, the fear of God into you and the fear of God into his ministry. And, of course, he has a portrait of God that's different from that of Jesus, you know, who brings with him the father of the prodigal son, who brings with him the name of Abba or Daddy or affectionate father, which is kind of the opposite of this kind of terrifying God sometimes, or this angry God, or even a retributive God that still was, you know, intrinsic in many ways to much of John's preaching, and even to the Old Testament preaching. So all of a sudden, this tragedy, you know, which by all accounts, if you just look at it straight on, you just simply have to say, it's a horrible event. You know, it's just darkness, 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 you know, in the worst imaginable sense. And every single deadly sin present in the mix. And then all of a sudden, God's bigger plan, this providential plan, is going to literally pave the way through this terrible moment to point everything to Jesus, to the preaching of Jesus, to the image of God that Jesus is bringing, to the whole way of justification that Jesus is bringing, which is different from the justification of John, to the Holy Spirit who is now going to come into the world, right? Now, all of a sudden, the way is paved, the way is clear toward the light who has come into the world, none other than the Son of God himself. And so you just have to look at it and you just have to say, is this really the way it is for the, you know, the world? Is this how God works with all tragedies, with all suffering? Yes, of course he redeems all suffering in heaven, but is he always kind of making good come out of things even on this earth? And the answer is yes, he is. When doors slam, when tragedy happens, the Holy Spirit's opening other doors, and the Holy Spirit is creating alternative paths that are leading to something even more significant, because the Lord is not just the Lord who redeems suffering in heaven. He is literally transforming tragedy, sin, darkness, death, and suffering into some form of light, because he's the Lord of history as well. What we got to do is keep our eyes fixed on it. I remember last thought I have, like this kid at Georgetown, telling me one day, you know, he says, well, you can explain everything you want about history, but you'll never explain the Black Death. There's nothing good that came out of that rotten Black Death where the half of Europe's population is wiped out, and for what? Explain that to me. And I just simply said, well, you know, it did change the entire world of economics and socio-political organization, because after the Black Death, let's face facts, all of serfdom was over. The whole medieval period of serfdom was over. Now, there wasn't this plethora of labor that could be exploited as serfs. Now, the working class the whole idea of being able to organize into the guilds, where you could actually get a decent day's pay and where people would value you and where you could get an education and become your own person, the very basis of the economy. Where do you think you got that from? The Black Death. Now, I'm not saying God caused the Black Death to happen, to make that happen. What I'm saying is nature caused the Black Death, and God took everything else, because he's the Lord of history, and made it into something which is fashioned to this day. This is the Lord of history. No suffering is going to be completely ignoble. Suffering in its own time will be turned into the light of Christ, as it was in the case of John the Baptist. Amen.